Hi, this is Johnny Moore, and welcome to the next Hugh and the Rabbi podcast. And I'm joined by the usual gang, so that's Hugh McLeod in Texas. Hi, Hugh.
Hello.
And Penny, I guess you're in New York at the moment?
I'm in New York.
Hi, Penny. And I'm playing Anchorman today because we've invited on the show Ben Keane, who's someone I'm surprised now to realize I've not heard of before until I heard him talk last week at a very crowded event. And his opening line was something like, "Oh, it's very odd for me to be talking to you on this raised platform. If I were in Fiji and addressing you, I would be on a level or below you," which was a good opening. It made me pay attention. And I then heard the most extraordinary story, which seemed to me to capture so much of the potential of the internet to connect us in a different way. And if you can, Ben, maybe you could begin by just giving us the sort of potted version of who you are and what it is you've done on this paradise island.
Sure, Johnny. Thanks for welcoming me. The challenge and the idea at the beginning for myself and Mark, the guy that I set Tribe Wanted up with, was really just to say, could you take an online community, could you take a group of like-minded people, a Facebook group, a MySpace page, and say, right, let's give this group of people a real-world headquarters somewhere in the world so that they can take their shared interests and go and do something with it. And we were looking at tourism and more specifically ecotourism, and we went for the island, the desert island, the kind of extreme of the online community. And we found this place in Fiji, Voro Voro, and we met the chief out there, and we agreed a deal, and off we went.
And I think you said in the talk you gave that you had a handshake deal with the tribal chief, and shortly after you left, the team from Survivor came and made him a cash offer, which he had to turn down.
Well, he didn't have to turn down, of course. He could have, you know, a handshake's a handshake in our world, isn't it? But in Fijian living and culture, if you shake hands with someone, that's it. That's the contract. So we were very fortunate. We found someone who was committed to this new idea. And despite the fact that we were very clear that we didn't have any money at the time, and obviously a seaplane landing on the water in front of his beach was a good indication that there was probably a better financial deal there for him. But he said no, and he went with the boys in their backpacks and the dreams of bringing the internet to his island.
And what is the actual idea, Ben?
The idea Tribe Wanted, yeah, it was really just to see whether we could use an online community to empower people online to go and then create something offline. So on this island in Fiji, to work with a local community in Fiji to develop a sustainable village. So kind of taking the idea of, well, you have 2 weeks vacation in Fiji or wherever else in the world, but through this project, you could actually experience and be involved with it throughout the whole year online. So it's extending your vacation in some ways and extending the experience.
So there's kind of a community on the island and then a larger internet community, each of whom, depending on their level of membership, gets to visit the island for a period of time to be part of the real community as well.
That's right. We have a maximum of 30 visitors on the island at any one time, and online as many people as want to get involved. So you pay per week, like you would to go on any holiday anywhere, but the difference with Tribe Wanted is that you actually participate online before and after, and of course when you're actually staying on the island itself.
I'm reading your book at the moment, Ben, and it's quite an extraordinary story, because it seems like this is a remarkable venture that came out of almost nowhere, out of a conversation over beer in Manchester with a friend, and you were going to do something different, some other travel industry thing, and out of it arose this kind of crazy idea that somehow flew. And reading your book, you come across as kind of the sanest madman I think I've ever come across. And I, you know, I was forced to ask that sort of question. What was it like? How did you manage to do this, do you think? Because it seems like a remarkable achievement for two former students in a bar.
Well, I think the appeal of the idea was so powerful. Once it kind of had implanted itself in our minds and started to gather pace, that it was impossible to ignore. And for me, certainly, it was one of those things that you know, I consider myself someone who's reasonably rational and sort of gets on with working things out logically, problems and developing ideas, and I've led lots of projects and trips in different parts of the world. And so to me, the idea of developing a community on a desert island alongside the local people, although I knew would be a challenge, was not going to be impossible. And the idea of building an online community for Mark, the guy I set it up with, was going to be a challenge and not impossible. And so really for us, that they both made sense. It was putting the two together that was the kind of leap of faith. And we made the leap and we got the attention. It's just a question of how far we can build that crossover. And that's been the real challenge is, you know, the online, the second world and the second life experience versus the real life desert island experience.
To me, it seems like 30 years ago, to get yourself all the way from Britain to Tahiti, even if just going to lie on a beach, would be considered a real adventure. But now the way modern travel is, just flying across halfway around the world to like Tahiti or Goa or whatever, to lie on a beach underneath a grass hut and sip cocktails isn't really an adventure. So this idea of actually participating in the local tribes gives you a sense of belonging, but also gives you more of a sense of adventure than just sipping cocktails. And perhaps that's what builds it. This ever kind of, I always think that as marketing gets more sophisticated, the search for meaning gets more deeper.
I think that's a really interesting point here. I mean, for talking to the, you know, we've got 10,000 people who participate or have started to participate online, and 500 of which have actually already visited the island in Fiji. And the whole range of motives for people being there just staggers me, from the obvious, oh, we're on the round the world tour and we want to go and do something different in Fiji, we don't just want to lie on the beach, to these people who are really looking for meaning in their lives. And so the adventure of actually going and learning from a Fijian community about simple ways of living, or supposedly simple ways of living, by fishing and growing your own food and that kind of lifestyle, suddenly brings meaning and education and inspiration to their own lives that they can continue to follow because of this web platform we have. And that, I think that's really exciting, using a social network for sort of social change in our own lives.
I think that the concept is unbelievable. This is similar to, in the olden days, the concept of the shtetl in Poland, where everybody, or even the kibbutz building in Israel, where everybody is sort of socially conscious of their surroundings. No one is, you know, even though I've noticed there's a concept of chief here. And what is that role? I went through your site, but I didn't get the full picture of what the chief's role is.
Well, obviously in Fiji, the indigenous community, who I should point out, there's only a small family that live on the island with us on Voro Voro. The larger Fijian community lives on the neighboring island, literally across a short hop across the water. But the chief of that indigenous tribe is the man that lives on the island with us and who I leased the island from, a man called Tui Mali. And so one aspect of the project for us was to say, well, how can we best learn about developing this island sustainably and this community together? And one thought that we shared with him at the start was, well, why don't we should have our own leaders as well. And part of this was, part of this, I guess, social experiment was to see whether we could start to develop on an online democracy and community that actually made decisions that impacted a real space. And so each month, the online community elects a new leader or chief, as we say, and then that person gets a free month on the island, and in return for that, for the month, they have to actually take on responsibility and work alongside us. And it's really interesting because the Fijians look for this person that comes in each month. And we've had a, you know, 19-year-old through to 60-year-old from different parts of the world play this role over the past 18 months. And they look to this person and they really respect this person. They expect them to behave like a local Fijian chief. And so the cultural exchange is really reaches new depths, and it's getting away from the fact that this isn't just another reality TV show. This is a real sort of, we want to come and learn about how you live, and we want to share that on the internet.
Now, do you find what kind of reaction are you getting from the average person who's living in modern society?
Who takes part in the project in Fiji or just online?
No, just a regular person. Like if you would meet me in the street and you would tell me, and I'm just a regular, you know, I wouldn't call myself. I mean, I'm socially conscious, but if you meet just a regular person in the street and you tell, oh, I created this project to, you know, online, offline type of thing, what has been the reaction?
Well, I think the reaction we saw at the beginning gave us a huge amount of confidence because right at the start, as Johnny's reading in the book, we literally threw this idea out onto the web with a few pictures and a few pages and a PayPal page saying, look, if you want to jump in, let's go. And we got fantastic publicity, and 1,000 people within a few months sort of just put their money down and said, let's do it. But we had exposure to tens of thousands of people. And so I think the vast majority turned around and said, that's a nice idea, the idea of building and developing a community in a beautiful place. But I don't think it will work because, as we're discussing now, it's there's a lot of risk involved.
And this is England, so nothing is going to work because everybody... because we are programmed to expect everything to fail.
I'll tell you what, I really learned something about our country when we started this because we got picked up very quickly in the US, and the Today Show actually came over within 3 or 4 weeks of putting our website online, I had the Today Show in our back garden in Devon sort of saying, hey there, how are we doing? We're going to, you know, and I was like, what is going on here? And they were fascinated by the fact that we were going to go and live on an island where there were no toilets or electricity. And I was like, well, I don't see that as the challenge. The challenge is a relationship between the online and the offline. And I love the fact that basically whenever I met or spoke to Americans online, I got this immediate support and like, go for it, son. Whereas in the UK, it was always like, well, good luck, but I don't think it'll work.
I have to say, Ben, I'm half British. I have a British passport, and I spent about half my life in Scotland and London. So I'm not. There's a lot of cultural resistance to new things in some parts of the world because it's just not the way we do it here. But I want to know. Okay, how did you know the chief already when he had this idea, or did you just kind of turn up and on the island one day and go, "Hey, we've got a website. You want to be our chief?" What happened?
No, I think the interesting story here is that even before I sat down with my mate in the pub and talked about taking an online community to a desert island, this project itself, as far as the Fijians were concerned, was already prophesied, had been foretold. And the story goes that the chief, Tui Mali, who lived on the island, a friend of his, had told him that one day the world was going to come to his island in some shape or form. And so they'd actually started to clear the land, this is a few years ago now, and build a few huts and sort of sat back and waited for the world to come. And of course, when the world didn't turn up, they got in touch with their nephew, who was a lawyer who left Fiji and gone to work in different parts of the world. And he suggested that they're perhaps advertising the island for lease might help their prophecy come true. And sure enough, within a couple of months of putting it online, I landed on the beach with Mark and was able to talk about this idea of the internet and this global network of people coming and developing their island with them. And so as soon as they heard this idea, even though they'd never used the internet, it made perfect sense. So there was no great surprise about what was changing in the world. It was just like, oh, we've heard about you. It's been foretold. Let's go.
Unbelievable. So how sustainable do you think this concept is? I'm saying, like, this is a great idea, and the website is phenomenal. I think it's amazing how much interaction you have with people online. But, like, you have now 12 people on the island, and you're constantly getting reservations?
Yeah, as a business, if the question how sustainable is it as a sort of social enterprise, is that what you're looking at?
Yeah, as a social enterprise, and not as a business. I mean, this is not why it was created, but I'm just saying, like, do you foresee this going on for years, or this was a social study, and you know, once it teeters off, you'll do a book tour.
No, I see this hopefully very much as the beginning of a much bigger story for us, and hopefully lots of other people as well. Bora Bora, the island and the adventure, and there we've been through a lot of challenges and problems as well, and so coming through that and having taken the risks, it's important now that we almost get a return on that sort of risk that we took in the first place, both in terms of creating wealth for everyone involved and also development. So that goes down, you know, from the fishermen in Fiji through to the people that are members of the project. I'm actually going back to Fiji in a couple of months, and I hope to be able to sit down with Tui Marley on the beach and see if we can talk about perhaps looking at a 10-year extension to this lease, which runs out next year. And beyond Fiji itself, I'm looking at the idea of developing projects in other parts of the world that could be similar. I don't think you can copy and paste this idea, but I certainly think with the right social media platforms and the way that we've built this community, there's huge potential to go in all sorts of different directions, and I'm getting lots of interesting ideas and offers coming into me, and it's just a question of making the right move.
And Ben, one of the things that really excited me about your story, hearing it from you, reading in the book, is the sense that while sometimes you've taken decisive action to take leadership, at times it feels like the story has led you, and you've had these moments of, you know, where something has emerged that seems to have meant to be. You suddenly find yourself almost channeling what happens next. I'm thinking particularly of a meeting you had on the island when this was just starting, when several cups of kava, is that how it's pronounced?
Yes.
So you're in a hut on the beach having drunk some of this intoxicating liquor, and there's been a long conversation, and suddenly they call upon you to try and explain your idea to them. And tell us that story about how you see a poster on the wall and draw a diagram.
Well, it was probably the longest time I've ever sat without saying anything or reading anything or writing anything. I was in this meeting with, it's called the Tikina Council, which is like all the leaders and elders from the local villages. So Tui Marley's Knights of the Round Table, if you like. And we were meeting to talk about, well, they were meeting to discuss the sort of normal village matters, and then of course this new project that their chief had initiated. And so they'd spoken for 2 to 3 hours around the kava bowl, drinking this muddy water that's a mild narcotic and slowly numbs you, between sort of 8 and 10 in the morning. And then finally Tui Marley turned to me, myself having not understood really any of the last 2 hours of conversation, and he said, okay, now it's your turn, and sort of gestured for me to speak to these elders, these wise old men who I knew I had to impress. And I was a 26-year-old Englishman. I mean, well, God knows what they thought of me at that point. And so I sort of looked up and thought, I had this great idea, you know, speech in my head, oh, welcome, and this is what we're going to try and do, and how can we help, and blah, blah, blah. And, of course, 2 hours later, that had all gone, and I was pretty carpetized, as we say. So I looked up and I saw this poster on the wall. It was the only poster in the hut, and it was actually a calendar, and on it it had Serevi, which is the most famous sort of Fijian rugby player, sevens rugby player, and on the other side it had David Beckham. And I thought, I can't believe David Beckham's in this beach hut on this remote island in Fiji. How's he got out here? But anyway, I asked the chief, I said, can I use that poster? And he said, okay, go on. And I pulled the poster down, and on the back I drew two overlapping circles. And on the right-hand circle I wrote Mali Yavusa, which is the name of the tribe we were staying with in Fiji. And on the left-hand circle I wrote Internet Tribe. And where the two circles overlap, I said, where do these two groups, these two communities and these two tribes overlap? Where do they meet? And sort of, you know, the gaze went out the window across to the neighboring island of Bora Bora, and on Voro Voro, on this little island in the Pacific. And so I didn't need to sit down and sort of go through the business plan. All I needed to do was say, we have one thing in common, and that's that island over there, and let's go and build something on it. And that's how we began.
It's a great story. And I think another thing that really strikes me about this is there are so many naysayers who say that this could never work. And I think it's quite remarkable that in your first, I think in your first 2 weeks on the island with the first footers, you had what sounded like an extremely diverse group of people, right? People that you might easily dismiss as misfits who hang out on the web, right? You know, ranging in age from 17 to 60, different races, different genders. You had a transgender woman on the island in that first week. And 9 days in, while you're taking a day off, the whole island catches fire. Tell us about that.
Yeah. it wasn't something we saw coming. I think that there hadn't been a fire on Voro Voro for 15 years. And although bushfires are common in the Pacific on the islands, yeah, there hadn't been one for 15 years. I took a day off because I was exhausted, and I thought, oh, we'll let these guys get on with it. The fire began when the chief's brother was planting some cassava and some ants were bothering him, and so he put a pile of leaves down and lit them and went for his nap, and the wind picked up, and then suddenly half the island is going up in flames. And what was, in hindsight, what was interesting about it at the time, it was pretty scary. What was interesting is the way that the Fijians reacted versus, you know, our little community of non-Fijian visitors. And basically the Fijians created firebreakers and then went and sat down and drank tea and waited the fire to burn itself out. The non-Fijians, i.e. the Westerners, sort of half of them said, okay, we're going to go wait on the beach and we'll take a boat to town, and we've asked the family and we'll just leave them to it because we don't know what we're doing here and we need to stay safe. And the other half, because of this whole idea of community, went for the, we're going to fight with our neighbors and blah, 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 and we're carrying, you know, filling up plastic bottles with seawater and running 50 yards to pour it on this sort of fire that was going up three stories high. And it's just amazing to think that the people in that situation were, because of their passion for the project, they ignored the fact that they should have been following the people that had been living there for generations and how they were behaving. sit down and drink tea. So that caused some division, but it also made us realize about how we needed to structure the project. So in hindsight, it was a good thing, but at the time, it was pretty scary.
But it seems like it's a microcosm of how, in a way, the island teaches the community.
Very much so. And you come to an event like Mother's Day on the island, and Tui Mali is leading a Thanksgiving sort of lunch and feast, not just to the women that we, you know, the mothers on the island, but also to the island itself, to the sea and to the land. It's, you know, it's very much about living in tune with nature. And it's very refreshing to do that without becoming a tree hugger. It's to do that in a world and then go back and log on and be part of everything else that's happening is the kind of balance in life that I absolutely love.
So tell me, does any religious aspect to this, do people bring that in at all, or everybody's, I mean, because the Fijians have their religion, right?
Sure.
So do people bring any religion to the island, or it's just one big family?
It's a good question, because I was fearful at the start of the eclectic nature of the people we would attract, as you just mentioned, the sort of the people who hang out on internet chat rooms, were they all just going to land on the beach and all these sort of strange people and weren't perhaps socially cohesive in a real world community rather than a virtual. And what were the ideologies and the religions they were going to bring with them? And yeah, we've had one or two people who are a little bit out there, but pretty much everyone that comes is very in tune with what we're doing because they've learned about it online. And the Fijians live a very conservative Christian traditional way of life, and the kava and the ceremonies are important, but it's not sort of voodoo magic, and so there has never really been that kind of clash. And if people want to have some time out on the island to go and think and read or have some spiritual time, then there's the space to do that. But there's certainly no kind of, I think the closest we got was a debate online whether there should be a shrine on the island, which mm-hmm. the majority said, don't be ridiculous. But there were a few people out there who wanted that kind of thing. But democracy won out on that.
So what is the percentage of people that have participating on an ongoing basis? Because I could imagine that when if I would see this on the Today Show, I would go quickly sign up and then, you know, poke around for a few days and then I'm off, you know, like I did in Second Life or you know, something like that. Like, what are people being drawn and staying? Like, what is the stickiness from the site? And then what is your conversion rate getting them to go to the island?
It's our biggest challenge now that we've got over the sort of fires and the cyclones on the island. Our biggest challenge is engaging and growing our social network, because I think, as we've seen, certainly in the UK since we started this project 2 years ago, Facebook is now certainly dominating the main demographic who are engaged with this project, the sort of 18 to 40-year-olds. And suddenly people are only prepared to really spend time on one network, and Facebook is dominating at the moment. So we're having to be, as a social network and as a web community, we're having to look a lot more about being mobile. So it's not just about tribewanted.com, it's about tribewanted groups in MySpace and Facebook and Twitter and Flickr and all those other web applications that people use, and obviously YouTube. So the percentage that engage regularly is about between 10 and 15%, and that's every week. We have about 40% of the 10,000 follow the newsletter and everything every week. So of course the vast majority get involved for a little while, maybe go to the island and then move on. But that's the big question for me. How do you engage people when they've got so much going on in their lives, so they don't just dip in and out? Because you need the community and you need the momentum to create the actual excitement and energy around the project.
Concept is amazing. And what have been the feedback that you've gotten from people that have really gotten involved? I mean, to take off for a week, it's a vacation, but to dedicate yourself to building an island in Fiji, that's amazing.
Well, it is amazing, and it just it was kind of like, well, it's the power of ideas, isn't it? And if you find an idea and a lifestyle that can go with that, then it works really well. So it was just a case of actually going, this is what I want to do, and can I build a business around it? Can I build a life around it? Can I actually, is it possible? It's the challenge, and I guess there wasn't a lot of thought at the start, but the nice thing now is to see the impact both locally in Fiji and on people around the world, and it's just being part of a community in this day and age, and I think that's something that a lot of us miss, and it's fantastic, and I hope it carries on for a long time.
So, Ben, we're just coming to the end of our time. I think Penny's been amazed by your story. I continue to be amazed by your book. It's called Tribe Wanted. I guess people could find it at your website, and that's tribewanted.com. Is that right?
That's right. It's all there.
It's a truly amazing story. I think the notion of tribe that this book articulates and that you have helped to create stirs something very deep. It certainly stirs something very deep in me. It clearly stirred something very deep in people from very diverse backgrounds who've come to this island and made what might seem impossible work. It's a great story. Anyone listening to this, I really recommend you have a read of the book and take a look at the website and maybe go and join Ben in this great adventure. And Ben, thanks for joining us and sharing your great story.
Johnny, thank you, and thanks, guys. I really appreciate your interest, and hopefully see you in Fiji one day.
Well, there's an offer. And good luck with the next chapter.
Thank you.